Major League Soccer is on the eve, or it is the eve, actually, the start of the Major League Soccer season, or close to the eve, the start of the Major League Soccer season. And the league is currently embroiled in a dispute with its players. So we're calling this segment of the show MLS Labor 101. That's why we're bringing John Molinaro of Sportsnet in. Mr. Molinaro, the floor is yours. Who wants what, and why aren't they getting it?
The main issue here is the players want free agency. There's no form of free agency in Major League Soccer. So essentially, under the old CBA, when a player's contract expired, the team still retained his rights. He couldn't go up and sign with another MLS club. He had to go through what they call the re-entry process. So it's basically a draft of guys who were out of contract. And then, opposing to other teams can, draft him if they want. And if not, then so it's basically a guy who's out of contract just can't up and sign with another MLS team. And obviously the players want some form of free movement when they're out of contract. And the argument they say is that it's not unlike every other sort of soccer league in the world, where Carlos Tevez, if his contract runs out with Juventus tomorrow, then he's free to go and sign wherever he wants. They want some sort of movement. They want some sort of ability to sign with other MLS clubs and not have the club retaining the rights when they're out of contract.
Now, my first reaction to that would be, clearly ownership views this as a way of controlling salary.
Absolutely, sure.
And the league structure is also odd, though, isn't it? Walk me through this, because the league doesn't run teams.
Right.
Do they? But is there some sort of...
They kind of do, but they kind of don't.
Exactly. It's a franchise operation, right?
It's a single entity franchise. So basically what happens is the players, essentially, they sign with Major League Soccer. They don't sign with clubs. Although the clubs are free to pursue and sign whoever they want. But essentially it's MLS who is like paying, the salaries. So... Mm-hmm. And a part of that is that, when the league was formed 20 years ago, it was all about controlling costs, because they didn't want to go the same route of the North American Soccer League.
Right, just imploded.
30 years ago, which just imploded because they blew their brains out signing, guys from overseas. So it's a centrally controlled league where they're, want to keep costs down. So it doesn't surprise me that, obviously they don't want to give up. The owners don't want to have some sort of free agency, because they don't want to have create bidding wars with guys who are out of contract.
How does this end? From a distance, it doesn't appear as if the players have a lot of leverage. Do they?
Well, they do and they don't. I mean, the fact that we're so close to the start of the season. I mean, the season kicks off on Friday, so here we are. Roughly 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting too, in that Orlando City, who is one of the expansion franchises, they signed Kaká this offseason, so there's a lot of buzz about them. They're playing in the Citrus Bowl on this weekend, and they've sold 60,000 tickets for their home opener. So if games are wiped out, the owners are going to feel it.
And plus, that's not a way to make a good first impression.
No, it's not. And especially with, New York City FC is a new franchise too, so that's going to hurt them. I'm sure the league's television partners aren't going to be, all that happy about, games being canceled. So I think to a certain extent, the players do have some leverage. But at the end of the day, the owners, they've been in this for the long haul. And, if they're going to sacrifice some short-term hurt for long-term gain, if that means not giving up free agency, then they're not going to do it. Maybe they'll come to some sort of compromise, like in the NBA or the NHL, where you have to have a certain level of service or age requirement before you become a free agent. But that, for me, is the only sort of compromise that can be worked out.
How do guys like Giovinco view this?
It's an interesting question. I mean, he hasn't really been asked about it, but I'm sure he's kind of, scratching his head coming here and thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be making $7 or $8 million, and you're telling me now I'm not going to get paid? And I'm sure the same thing is going through the mind of David Villa at New York City FC and Kaká at Orlando. This is mostly about the lower paid players, right? Mm-hmm. This is about guys who are making less than six figures. This is all for their benefit. Guys like, Kaká and Michael Bradley, while I'm sure they're going to talk about solidarity and the strength of the players uniting together, when push comes to shove, I'm not sure how, much they're really going to sacrifice for guys, for lower end guys in the league.
in conversation with John Molinaro on the Jeff Blair Show. Who are the players? Who are the players that have kind of taken the lead here? And you know, I just done a little bit of reading on it in the past couple of days, John. It seems to me that at some point, the logical thing to do would be to pick an age and say, if you've been in the league for X number of years with the same team for Y number of years, and you're, I don't know, 28, 29, whatever, that there's some sort of staggered free agency.
Right.
That would appear to be kind of where this should go.
Yeah.
Who are the players who are kind of leading the labor movement here, if you want to call it that? Or who are the people doing the negotiating for the players?
Well, to a certain extent, there's Bobby Boswell, who's like a veteran of the league with DC United. You know, Michael Bradley, interesting enough, is the union rep for Toronto FC. But yeah, I think it's longtime players who've been in the league, like Boswell, who have seen the league sort of you know, grow from when it was, you know, launched in 1996 to, you know, a very mom and pop operation to, you know, a league that, you know, there's no question that has its issues, but it is quite prosperous. And I think the players now, just especially long timers like Boswell, they just want to see more sort of reparations or more, more positives for the players. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with, I'm trying to remember who it was, former North American Soccer League player. It wasn't Brian, but I can't remember. But they were talking about Giorgio Canali, and when there was a strike, I believe, at one point by North American Soccer League players, or there was a lockout or a labor action. Oh, I know. It was actually Shep Messing, because he was a teammate of his. But he was talking about how Giorgio Canali, who was a big personality.
Oh, yeah.
Big player, big-time player. How he actually threw his support behind the players. And I don't know what how it came about, but I remember Shep, I'm sure it was Shep, talking about how just Canalia's, how his support meant so much to the players. Do you see guys, are there guys that might rally around some of the lesser paid players? Do you think some of the bigger name guys?
It could be. I mean, you know, Michael Bradley has kind of already come out and said, you know, this is something that we're going to fight for and that we would walk out on. And it's fine to say things like that, but you really have to sort of question behind closed doors whether the guys who are making, you know, major dollars, like a Jovinko, who are making millions, are they really going to, you know, stay or stand with, you know, their union brothers who aren't making, you know, quite as much as money, because they have a lot to lose here. So it's interesting. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, I have serious doubts about the players' resolve, but we'll see how it goes.
How do you, I will ask you that, how do you see this playing out? I mean, you say you have doubt about the resolve. We're getting pretty close where that resolve has to be tested, right?
Yeah.
What happens? Will there be a vote on the part of the players, or will it just be a matter of people will show up at the stadium and they, you know, I don't know if there's a game.
Yeah, both sides are negotiating right now in Washington with a federal mediator, and they've been negotiating there since Sunday. So I suspect that there's going to be a vote by the union sometime this evening or early tomorrow morning. And if there's a vote to strike, then I think it's going to happen. I think there's got to be some sort of compromise in terms of, you know, a player is 26 or 28, has X amount of years of service. There's no way that the players are going to get free agency like it is in, you know, European soccer,
where you're done,
you can go wherever you want.
Right.
It'll be more like a North American-based free agency system where after X amount of service in the league or, you know, you're reached a certain age threshold, then you can go. That's the only way I can see doing it. And there has been sort of talks in between the sides about, you know, what those numbers might be. So, I mean, hopefully that's what they can kind of agree on. It's getting late, though. So, I mean, the owners, I mean, they could really, you know, hold the league's, the union to the fire and really test their resolve. Because, the union has been talking big about, you know, we want free agency and we're going to walk about this and we're going to walk over this. I'll be interested to see if, you know, if the owners are really going to, you know, put them to the test and see how much they are willing to walk over it.
Do you see any way things like length of contract or things of that could be a stumbling point here? In other words, if at some point, and again, it seems to be logical that you've got to find a midpoint. Okay, free agency takes effect based on these sets of principles. Do you see the length of contract being an issue? In other words, ownership might look at that and say, okay, we want an 8-year contract. The players might go, well, wait a minute, 8 years is a little longer. Do you think once they get free agency in some form, that'll be enough for the players to vote in favor of it?
I think the free agency is the main issue. I mean, I don't see the length of the contract or the terms of the contract being radically changed. I mean, I think the real stumbling block is determining the length of service and the age, right? Because you've got guys who are coming into the league, you know, sometimes when they're 17 or 18, and if you're talking about setting the age at 28, then
that's 10 years.
That's 10 or 12 years, depending, right?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, I think that's going to be sort of the stumbling block here. That's going to be what this deal is predicated on determining, you know, compromise on the age and the length of service.
One of the other things I've read, too, is the possibility of other sports player unions helping financially, which is, I know that the Major League Baseball Players Association, I mean, the NHL Players Association used to use their lawyers. I mean, there's a considerable amount of back and forth. Is there been any movement in that front? Is that something that you could realistically expect?
Yeah, there's been sort of rumblings about the NFL union sort of contributing to the MLS Players Union Trust Fund, although that hasn't been sort of verified in any way. But it wouldn't surprise me, because I think the other leagues, the North American leagues, are kind of looking at this and saying, you know, this could be something that we're going to have to deal with sometime soon. So I think, I think they're looking at this with great interest, because they're just as invested in this outcome as, you know, Major League Soccer is.
Yeah, and it's like anything else. I mean, any collective bargaining agreement, stuff builds off each agreement. And, I once had someone with the Major League Baseball Players Association tell me, because I said, really, why should you guys care what happens elsewhere? And he said, you know, you've got a lot of people who own teams in different leagues, and if they can get a foot in the door in one league, I mean, there's always going to be free agency in other sports, but who knows, if you get a foot in the door in one league where you've curtailed or at least put some sort of limit on free agency, maybe ownership feels empowered when they negotiate in the other sport.
Well, that's a good point.
You don't, you know, you kind of want to make sure that there's as much freedom as possible for everybody.
I mean, that's a very good point, because you do have some MLS owners like Robert Kraft, who owns the New England Patriots. He also owns New England Revolution. So he's kind of got, you know, foot in both camps as well. So I think him and several other owners who have stakes in NFL franchise or baseball franchises, they're thinking long term with this, right? Because they want to control costs at absolutely all, you know, that's the hill they're going to die on. So I think they see this MLS sort of case as, you know, possibly as a harbinger of something that might happen down the line in other leagues.
No one watches their pennies more than a millionaire. John, thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. John Molinaro of Sportsnet. Again, Sportsnet will keep you informed as to the progress of negotiations. Saturday, or when does...
League starts Friday, and Toronto FC plays in Vancouver on Saturday.
And so I'm
supposed to fly out tomorrow. Hopefully.
So here you go. Get a deal done so John Molinaro can get a trip to Vancouver.
Exactly.
Get away from the winter. Thanks a lot for doing this.
No problem.